Welcome to Scaling Wellness, the podcast that will give you all the tools you need to grow your wellness business and thrive in the online space. I'm your host, Caroline Kopp, Pilates teacher and health coach, turned business mentor for wellness experts, teachers and coaches just like you. This is the podcast where we uncover the strategies, stories and tools to help you to scale your wellness business, build impactful digital products and create the time, money and freedom that you crave. If you're ready to grow your online presence, make a bigger impact with your clients and in the wellness industry, and uncap your revenue, you are in the right place. Let's dive in. Hello there, welcome back to Scaling Wellness. Now, I'm not going to lie, this is a re-record. I recorded this podcast episode for you a couple of days ago, and I've been thinking about it ever since, and it hasn't felt quite right. And so I'm re-recording it. And now this is going to go against everything that I'm going to talk about in this episode, where we're going to talk about the traits of a perfectionist. I don't really resonate with being a perfectionist, but there are some elements of it that I do resonate with. And there are some things that I've done over the last 7 years of running a digital business that have cost me because of those traits. So what I thought I would do today, I'm seeing a lot of this in my clients at the moment. So I thought I would share with you some of the things that I see that I'm going to call the perfectionist tax. This is like a tax that you are paying by going slowly or perfectly, should we say, by doing things too perfectly and worrying too much about being perfect. Now, I know I've just said I re-recorded this episode because it wasn't perfect, but actually I would say it was less than perfect. It was substandard, it was subpar, and it was bothering me that I was going to put out something that I didn't feel quite got to the point of what I wanted to talk about today. So I'm re-recording, I've got better notes, and I'm going to go through this with you today because I'm going to show you what I'm seeing with my clients and what I've also done in my business, mistakes I've made and things that have kept me small and kept me moving really slowly. Now, the thing with digital business is that we have the opportunity to try and fail really fast. We can make things happen, create something out of nothing really, really quickly. And it's really important when you're running a digital business that you do that, that you fail fast and you fail forwards. You're learning all the time, you're analyzing the data, you're reflecting all the time. But if you go slow, if you take too long, you lose the momentum, you get stuck in the detail. And this is where I see people stalling. This is where I see incredible experts overthinking things, overanalyzing themselves, the market, the niche, the tech, the price, all these things that we get stuck on. And the reason why you get stuck in this place is safety. Your brain is hardwired to keep you safe. Now, I am not a mindset expert. I have worked with an incredible mindset coach in the past, so I'm definitely not an expert on this, but I do understand where this comes from. You are hardwired to remain safe, and your brain tries to throw things out to you to stop you from stretching and pushing the boundaries and moving into scary unknown areas. And that's often why we get stuck in this perfectionism. Now, what I see a lot is I attract roughly the same kind of people over and over again. They are the perfectionists. They are the A types. They are often very high achievers. They have done well in the past. They have always been praised by the fact that they do well. They live and die off this kind of, you know, you're so busy and how do you get so much done and superwoman. They're doers. These are the people I attract. And although I don't necessarily resonate with being a perfectionist, I definitely resonate with the rest of that. I really feel like those are the people that I attract. Often you've come from high achieving corporate roles. You're good at what you do. You know you're good at what you do. But by stretching into a new area, an area where you have to show up, where this is on you, can be really, really challenging. Especially when, as I always say, sometimes it's just easier to stick with what you're doing. You know, making a nice living, doing what you know you do well already, turning up for your clients. Stretching into the online space can feel really, really daunting. And so there are things that I see time and time again, and I'm going to share with you what those are. So I've had two conversations this week. The first one was when one of my prospective clients was talking about where they wanted to work with me, how they wanted to do that. And we talked about the idea of the digital course creator, which is more of a self-paced option, or the Scaling Wellness Accelerator, which is more supportive. And they said, I feel like I need to do the digital course creator because I won't feel like I've done it properly if I don't do it myself. That was the first one. And then the second one, you can hear, this is nuts, can't you? Right. But the second one was very similar. One of my clients has outsourced a piece of work because she was getting stuck and it was holding her back. So she outsourced it. And her words were, I know it's cheating, but I just knew it would slow me down. Cheating. Right. I hope you can hear how crazy these things are. That if you don't do it yourself, it's not valid. If you don't do all the work yourself, you haven't done it properly. You haven't done it. You haven't worked hard enough for it. You haven't earned it. And, you know, if you're outsourcing things, you're cheating. It's like the you're cutting corners. None of this is true, guys. You do not need to do this alone. And this is where I got stuck for about 6 years. I felt like I had to really wing it. And I had to make the mistakes myself. I had to do it all myself. I didn't want to outsource anything because I was worried that I then wouldn't know how to do it. You know, I didn't want to pay for anything because I felt like I couldn't afford it yet. I would wait until I had the money. But all these things helped me stay small. They helped me to avoid failure because I wasn't putting myself out there certainly as quickly as I could have been. It cost me. And the tax I paid was time. It all happened really slowly, and money, because I ended up spending more. And in the time that I wasn't putting myself out there, I was doing myself out of the potential earnings from these businesses. So time and money were cost in those 6 years. And so there are some other traits that I see often, and these are things that I have absolutely done myself, which is why I'm bringing them up. So the first one is waiting for the perfect time. I see this a lot, and I'm always careful with this one because sometimes the perfect time is important. You know, if you're 8 months pregnant, maybe now isn't the perfect time for you. You know, if your husband's just been made redundant, maybe now, you know, maybe it's not quite the right time. If your kids are about to do their A-levels, like maybe just take a breath. But generally speaking, when people say it's not the right time, I'm busy, or I'm waiting to be able to afford it. I'm waiting for the money to appear. I'm waiting to find a gap in my diary. Like, well, you know, those gaps just don't come. And when they do come, they fill up really fast. I think, I can't remember the name of the law, but there's a law of physics where you clear space and that space will fill. So you have to create space, you have to create time, and you have to carve out the money. It's not always there. If you want support and you feel you need support, sometimes it's not an easy find with the money. I have made huge investments, five-figure investments in coaching and support and group courses, trainings. I've never had the money. I've always found a way, knowing that by putting skin in the game, by taking that leap, I would find the money because I would have to. And so I'm in no way saying that you should be doing this at crazy busy times of your life or when you really don't have any money and having to put it on a credit card, although I have done that and it's worked. But I'm not saying that you should. I'm saying that you should be aware that that might be a really valid option, because all these things have return on investment. With the Scaling Wellness Accelerator, I would always say to someone, if you join that at the point of build, if you are in the build process and you haven't launched the thing that you want to launch quite yet, then I would expect you to make that money back in your founder launch. The £1,500 that it costs to join the Scaling Wellness Accelerator, I would expect you to make that back absolutely within the first 2 or 3 months of working with me. So that's my kind of promise to you. And, you know, but you have to front it. You have to get that kind of upfront Cash, be brave, be bold. Because if there's no skin in the game, there is nothing pushing you to do it. So if you're sitting around thinking, I'd love an online business, I'd love to have a go, I'd love to grow this thing, I'd love to scale it, let's do it. There is never the perfect time. I know a lot of clients come to me in December, actually. And for me, I would think, well, that's a crazy time. But actually, December and the summer holidays are really busy for me, because I think experts, wellness experts, get a little bit of downtime during that time. And so that's that would be an obvious time of year. But if it's September and your timetables have just kicked off again and you're really, really busy, then you know what? If you want something done well, ask a busy person. Now might be the perfect time for you. Okay, one of the other things, and what I'd like you to do, guys, is to write down which one of these apply to you, because I'd love to hear afterwards which one applies to you, which ones resonated with you, which one of these are you doing. So the second thing, the first thing was waiting for the perfect time. The second thing is waiting for another qualification. I will do that and launch that program or grow that program or scale that program, but I just need to quickly do another qualification to really feel like I can offer the best. Guys, it's a stalling technique. It's a tactic that keeps you safe. Now, I'm not saying that you should all go out there and blag it and, you know, wing your qualifications, but you are qualified experts. If you've been working with clients for a number of years, you are qualified. You have enough. You have something that people want. And it's just about figuring out what that is. You do not need to get another qualification. For example, in my accelerator, I bring in Facebook ads people. I don't want to be an expert in Facebook ads. So I bring it in-house. So I bring in experts where I have a gap. There was a PR, one of my great friends, PR lady came in and has done a session. We've had all sorts of other experts coming in as well. We've got a copy coach that comes in. So there are ways of kind of filling the gaps that you see without you needing another qualification that's going to take you another year and put everything off again. Start and then fill the gaps where you see them. The third thing is tinkering. So I see a lot of experts tinkering in what I call the £5 tasks. The tasks that you could go onto Fiverr and pay 20 quid and get someone to do for you. Now, again, there's this perfectionist instinct that I need to know how to do everything, because if something goes wrong, I need to know how to fix it. You don't. Trust me. The bigger your business grows, the less you're going to know. You've got to have an overview. You've got to understand the mechanics of your business. You've got to understand how things work, but you don't need to know the detail. So start outsourcing now. Tinkering as well can look like rewriting your Instagram bio, rewrite or renaming your business, assuming that you need a rebrand before you launch. The colors and the fonts aren't quite perfect. Thinking that maybe you need to rewrite your About Me page before you launch. All of these things are go slows. And I see them even with experts who have a product. They've got it. It's there. It works. It's selling. And they're not selling it. They're not putting themselves out and selling it because they're waiting until everything else is perfect first. Well, guys, it's a movable feast. You are never going to reach perfection first. So stop trying, launch messy, get the minimum viable product and put it out there. The fourth thing is getting derailed by the perfect tech setup. Again, you know, tech is important and you are running digital businesses, so technology is going to be your friend. But when you first start, you do not need, you know, £100 a month platforms. You need a YouTube channel, a Google Doc, and that's probably it. Maybe a Zoom link. But that's pretty much it. Like, you can do it all through Google Docs, Gmail, and somewhere to host your videos, YouTube. So you don't need to pay anything for your tech setup. Down the line, once you get into a more scalable system and you want to grow, absolutely, you can invest in something really fancy and beautiful. But until you've tested it and you've run your program a few times, bearing in mind the Digital Course Creator I ran, I think, 3 times before I put it on a platform. So by the time I put it on the platform, I knew it was good. By that point, I'd done all the testing. I knew what people wanted. I knew the points where they needed help. So I made sure everything was in there. But if I'd done that for the first iteration, I would have ended up having to go and redo it a number of times. So I waited until I delivered it a few times so that I really felt like it was a solid proposition. Then I put the tech in place. So don't get derailed by that and don't let it slow you down. The next thing is over-delivering and kind of not coaching. So this can happen when you've got a product. Sometimes when we are running a digital product, it's really easy to get sucked into the delivery of that product and forget that you actually have to continue selling it. You still need to be looking at your sales strategy above anything else. But the delivery is important, and of course we should be spending time there. But what we shouldn't be doing is over-delivering. We need to have boundaries around it, and we need to make sure that we are coaching rather than doing the doing. You're not there to be in somebody's pocket. You absolutely shouldn't be available at any time of day, night, weekend, you know, whatever, holidays. That's not the expectation. You need to put things in place that mean that you don't need to be there all the time, that you are able to coach people rather than over-delivering and trying to fix everything for them. You need to help people to help themselves. So which one of these would you say speaks to you? Which one do you see yourself in? Now, remember, your product, your digital program will never be perfect. It is a living thing. It's going to evolve. It's going to change. It's going to grow. It's going to develop over time. Aiming for perfection at the beginning or the middle is irrational. We need to make sure that we have something that serves our clients, delivers on the promise, but we don't need it to be perfect. And so the perfectionist tax that I talked about at the beginning is wasting time. It's costing you money, but potentially most importantly, it's also not serving your people. The whole time you are holding on to this thing, you're not helping the people that need you. And guys, we're in the service industry. You enter this industry to help people. So let's get on with the business of helping them. Let's not worry about our own concerns and our own fears of showing up. They don't care about that. They just want you to put the thing out. So there are some solutions and some ways that you can move this forwards. So the first thing is the 80% rule. This looks like getting it 80% great rather than aiming for 100. This looks like maybe going with old branding rather than rebranding. This looks like maybe filming in your front room rather than hiring a studio. This looks like imperfect lighting. You know, this might look like a Google Doc instead of a perfect tech platform. It might mean a Stripe link rather than a checkout, you know, fancy checkout page. So there are ways that we can deliver the same thing with less finesse, but that keeps us moving forwards rather than trying to make it perfect. The next solution is the one product, one person, one need, one funnel, one process, doing one thing really well. What I see often with experts is they're creating a number of things in one go. So it's like, okay, I need to have a freebie, I need to have a low ticket offer, I need a mid ticket offer, I need my high ticket offer. And all of those things have different audiences and different funnels. It's mental. It's absolutely mental. When you're starting out, all roads should lead to one product. You have one thing to sell and that's it. So that you know absolutely what you're getting up in the morning and selling, and you absolutely know who it's for. And that means that your funnel becomes really, really simple. When you start to scale it, it becomes really easy to scale because you know the ins and outs of it. You know who it's for. You know what the delivery looks like. You know who needs it. And so you can sell it really easily. And that process I would follow until you are at six figures. Once you tip over that, you can start adding in more courses, more products, more audiences if you need to. But I would advise you stick with one thing and do it really, really well. Get it really working seamlessly. And then you can really lean into those perfectionist instincts. You can start to perfect the funnel, perfect the data, really get into the numbers, really figure out what's working and what isn't. And you can really start to kind of lean into that A-type side of you that wants to make it great. Don't start great, start with 80%, start with the minimum viable product and then perfect it. And that is the third thing I would say, is that if you are starting out now, you should be starting out with minimum viable product, which means essentially a beta launch or a founder launch. It means starting with a pilot version so that the expectations on you are that this is brand new. This is not something that I've run before. So there are going to be issues with it. It's not going to run seamlessly, but I know what I'm doing as an expert and I will give you my support to make sure you get the result I'm promising. So the pilot launch allows you to launch messy, but it also allows your clients that first kind of eyes through the door. Like they get first refusal, first in. They don't need it to be perfect. They just want the outcome. So as long as you can deliver that and give them a cheaper price for being the kind of founder version, then it's a really safe way to move forwards without feeling like you have to perfect it first. The other thing is proof over polish. So if you are reluctant to go all out with a big launch, if that really frightens you and the idea of that is, you know, putting you off and holding you back, then my biggest suggestion would be go out and find three or four friends, family members, neighbors, clients, and use them as test versions. So rather than going for a launch where you do your beta launch or your founder launch, this means just working with three or four people quite closely, like maybe on a bit of a one-to-one basis. It can still be done online, it can still be done virtually. But you're still selling a transformation. You're not just selling more yoga, more Pilates. That would be you as a one-to-one coach. We don't want that anymore because we don't want time for money. This is going to be you deciding on a program, an A to B transformation, offering it to people that want it, but delivering it on a more personal basis, on two or three people. Just so you can kind of dip your toe and get a feel for what's worked. It's a really nice way of doing it because it feels very safe. It's a great way of starting and testing that process so that then when you come to launch it, you're not worried about the deliverables anymore. You know it works. Now you can just delve into the kind of technology side of it. To recap, I wasted about 6 years of my life doing this, trying to figure it out on my own, trying to kind of be the person that nails it herself. You know, I didn't ask anyone for help. I didn't get any help. It was like a badge of honor. Like I can do this my way, myself. And I'm pretty good at that. Like I'm pretty independent. I'm good at getting on with things myself, sometimes to my detriment. And actually, I think this was one of those occasions where 6 years later, I hadn't really made a huge amount of progress. The progress came when I invested in help, when I invested in someone to walk me through the process rather than me trying to take snippets from this book and bits from that podcast and watching that person doing it and buying their program and seeing how they're doing it behind the scenes. None of that works. None of it works because you don't know. If you're looking at other experts, you don't know if their methods are working. It might look like they are, but they might not be making any money in the background, or people might hate their program. So we don't want to base it on what other people are doing. So getting help and following one strategy that is working, that does work, for me was the way forwards. And I don't know about you, but I like ease in my business. I like things to feel easy. I like things to feel safe. And that's how I've always felt when I've had support, that suddenly that fear is a little bit less. You get a community of people that are there holding your hand and bolstering you and pushing you through when maybe if you were on your own, you might have held back. And so because I like ease in my business and I like working with wellness experts who also like ease in their businesses, that is what I am going to be talking about in my next workshop. So this workshop is on the 15th of October. Hopefully you have some prior warning and this is good timing for you to jump in. It's all about creating wellness programs that sell. It is about the simplest route to building and scaling. It's for people who want to sell maybe without social media, people who want to sell without any ick, and people who want to know that they are creating a good product that's going to work. And so that is happening on the 15th of October. I'm going to put the details in the show notes below. Please grab a space. It's 90 minutes, so we're going to go deep, and you will need a pen and paper to write it all down. But I'm going to be giving you as much information as I can. It's really for people that have already tried, who either have a product already that they just aren't very happy with, or that, you know, maybe you've launched a membership and it's just not grown, or you've had a course in the past that you might want to scale it, or you might want to rebuild it, or you might want to start from scratch. But it's really for those people who have dipped their toe. Now, that's not to say it won't work for anybody. In the accelerator, you can begin at the build phase. So this workshop is going to be speaking to all three stages, which is build, refine, and grow. So I look forward to seeing you there. And if you are somebody who is just ready to jump in and get support, then I'm going to put a link below. Book a call with me. Let's have a chat. Let's see how we can move you forwards. And hopefully I can give you some great next steps. Thank you very much for being here. I hope it was worth the re-record. Let me know which of those perfectionist symptoms are yours, which ones resonated the most for you. Are you the A type, the high achiever, the doer, or the perfectionist? And are you needing to do it alone? Are you seeing, are you waiting for it to be perfect? Are you following what others are doing? Are you looking for another qualification? Are you tinkering? Are you over delivering? Or are you getting derailed by the perfect tech? Let me know. I'd love to hear. I will see you again next time. Thanks, guys. Thanks for tuning in to Scaling Wellness. If you found today's episode valuable, I'd love to hear from you. Connect with me over on Instagram at Caroline Kopp and drop me a DM and let me know what your biggest takeaway was. Or if you know a friend or colleague in wellness who would find this podcast useful, I'd love you to share this episode with them or maybe tag it in your socials. It might be just what they need to hear today as well. And finally, if you are enjoying the podcast, don't forget, please rate and review. It helps more wellness professionals like you to discover the show and ultimately allows us as a community to grow the wellness message and help more people. So until next time, remember, the problem you solve for your clients still exists. So keep sharing your wellness message.